Coming up on this bonus episode of the podcast Under the Stairs, it's time to close out our look at the French miniseries Beyond the Walls by looking at the third and final episode. But before we get into that, it's year four, motherfuckers, and this time, it's war.
Warning, the podcast Under the Stairs is not safe for work. We'll feature movie spoilers and language which most listeners may find offensive. Brought to you in conjunction with Legion Podcast Network. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs.
Hi everyone and welcome to this bonus episode of the podcast Under the Stairs. I'm your host Duncan McLeish and welcome to the show. This is our third and final episodic look at the French miniseries Beyond the Walls, which is exclusively available on Shudder in the UK and I believe the States. I've still never got the confirmation that it's available in the States. I think it is in Shudder in the States, maybe, possibly. Someone will tell me. I know some of the listeners over there have already binge-watched this show and have been eagerly awaiting my views on the final episode. So I'm very much looking forward to getting into that. But before we get into the review of the final episode, it's time to update you guys. A bit of housekeeping, so to speak. We love doing that at the start of an episode. I can confirm that both the baseball tops and the t-shirts met their target, the minimum target of 10 each. So they will definitely be happening. They will definitely be getting printed very soon. I believe the date on the website for estimations for when people will be receiving them, so from about the 13th of February onwards, so possibly just in time for Valentine's Day if you're in the UK, maybe slightly later if you're out with in the States, etc. But yeah, congratulations for making that happen, people. That is huge for both myself and the Baz. We were hoping that we were going to be able to get both campaigns fully funded, and we did, and I'm over the moon that people are going to have his visage plastered on your chest out there in the world. Podcast Under the Stairs with some bitchin' Joshua Kelly artwork on the front. As it stands just now, I'm still working towards a kind of semi-permanent deadline of getting the posters up and running for pre-order middle of February, for those that have been asking, and there have been quite a few people. I did kind of float the idea on a previous episode that maybe we could run them at the end of February, if that suited people better, but no one's come back to confirm whether or not that's actually a good idea. So I'll probably still run them from the middle, and we'll just see how long it takes for the 25 numbered and signed ones to sell out. And if it looks like there's still an appetite beyond that, I will get some extra ones printed off for sale. But like I said last year, only the first 25 will be numbered and signed by the Baz. So those are the coveted ones. Some more details will drop in about the next week and a bit as to how you'll be able to get your hands on one of those bitchin' Baz V horror posters. So yeah, lots of fantastic news on Teapots merch. I'm over the moon that you guys are helping contribute a bit of money, getting something back in return, but ultimately helping this podcast continue on for another year. Like I said many times before, I do this show for free, really, and the money, any money we generate back through merch, I don't want to do a Patreon or anything like that. Some shows it works for, it's not something I'm interested in, this is a hobby. The fact that you guys dig it just makes me over the moon. If we can do something that allows you to give a bit of money to the show but get something back in return, and that money helps pay for the website and the host costs on SoundCloud, then I'm over the moon. And it certainly looks like that's happened this year. So you guys have once again made this tired, weary podcaster endlessly, endlessly happy. So yeah, I'm super excited about this. I quite like the idea of doing and some bonus episodes looking at some horror TV shows, and I really only chose Beyond the Walls after seeing the first episode on the basis that it only had 3 episodes, so if I got bored or tired of doing this, I would probably not do another one. But I've thoroughly enjoyed this, and the feedback I've been getting from you guys has been excellent. You guys seem to be enjoying it as well, so we will continue doing that this year, I think. My plan is to try and get more bonus content out there, just to fill in the gaps between the shows. I sometimes struggle to manage to get guests locked in some weeks, and in the past I would use a bonus episode as a stopgap, and some of those bonus episodes are not great. They tend to be the same stuff over and over again, so it's good to actually focus on doing one thing and get my teeth stuck into it. So Beyond the Walls seemed like a sensible thing to do, and like I say, thoroughly enjoyed it. Wait to hear my review of the finale. That show finished super fucking strong. So if you've been holding back to pull the trigger on this show, do it. Trust me, do it. I can't wait to talk about this final episode. Obviously, watch it before you listen to me talk, because like we say in our intro, this show has spoilers. I will be spoiling the shit out of this finale, so please, please, please do that. A couple of things that are quite interesting. I noticed that Toon the Rims this week, there has been some news items that I just wanted to touch on because some people have asked me for my opinions on them. The first one is that there is a casting call out right now for what is essentially going to be the reboot of Friday the 13th. It looks like it's going to be a prequel, and it looks like it's going to cover young Jason. And a couple of people had asked me by way of Twitter and by email what I thought of this. I got an email from Steve asking what I thought of the kind of reboot of Friday the 13th. And just to say, if anyone ever has any questions, I won't make a comment on anything on a bonus episode. Please feel free to drop something on Facebook, drop me a private message, or send an email to podcastunderthestairs@gmail.com, and I'll do them on the show. I don't mind it. We used to do a lot of them. We don't do much of this anymore. My thoughts are still fairly nondescript about it. It's my favourite franchise, so I'm keen to see where they take it. Do I think we need a prequel with Jason as a boy? Probably not. But I'm interested to see where they go with it. I wasn't a big fan of that remake. I didn't think it was horrendous, but I didn't think it was good either. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do to bring old fans in and new ones in at the same time. So yeah, the second thing is obviously Suspiria remake has finished. It's wrapped up now, and what do I think of that? I'm curious. I don't think it'll ever capture the mentalness, pure bonkerness of Argento, but I'm willing to give it a shot. I think some of the casting's been really good. I like Chloe Grace Moretz, love Tilda Swinton, so it will be interesting to see what a modern interpretation of one of my favourite horror movies of all time will do. So watch this space. This could be something truly glorious like the Maniac remake, or this could be a complete fucking train wreck. Either way, time will tell. So yeah, now that we've got all that out of the way, it's time to revisit Beyond the Walls, the Shudder exclusive TV series, French miniseries, and this is the final episode, so I will be right back after promos that I love and after the trailer for the show. We're going to discuss that right after this.
Broadcasting from the cursed earth, the Psycho Semanticast.
Let us face, without panic, the reality of our time. The fact that atom bombs may someday be dropped on our cities. And let us prepare for survival by understanding the weapon that threatens us.
To have an ignorant, thin-skinned megalomaniac who sends off Twitters at 3 a.m. if somebody angered him.
The neo-Nazis turning up in Washington, D.C. to have a rally saying Heil Trump.
We talk about politics.
I knew I couldn't trust you corporate greaseballs!
We talk about movies.
You can't come down here and arrest people just because of what they look like. Are you crazy? But that's police harassment.
We talk about political movies.
We're in trouble. The whole world's in trouble. They're all around us and you never knew it. You can only see them with these special glasses.
The Psycho Semanticast.
Almost midnight. Enough time for one more story.
They tried to kill us.
You ungodly warlock.
But we just won't stay dead.
What's the matter? You can't hold your liquor, huh?
to the Midnight Horror Show, the internet's goriest and raunchiest horror podcast since 2008. Now live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at tmhsradio.com. Listen on your mobile device with the TuneIn app, search TMHS Radio, or download us at iTunes, Podomatic, or the TMHS Radio page.
Ils ont trouvé un corps à la maison.
Et j'hérite de quoi au juste ?
De la maison.
C'est la maison en face de chez moi. On a trouvé le mort.
Oui.
Je ne connais pas cette personne. En plus, il est mort il y a 30 ans, non ?
Vous avez fait pour être ici dans cette maison.
And welcome back. So you've just heard the trailer for Beyond the Walls. This is the third and final episode in the miniseries, which was created, written and directed by Javier Hadamar. The co-creator is Mark Herpo. The show stars Viril Bitens as Lisa, Francois Debloc as Julienne, Geraldine Chaplin as Rose, and other folks are in here. Right, let's get into this. So much to discuss. So for those that are keeping count from the show that we dropped on Monday, the episode number 2 finished with Julienne being surrounded by the others in the Misty Forest. And we were left with Lisa arriving at a house by the lake and an old woman asking her to enter. So the third episode kicks off straight away from that point. We see from the different perspective inside the house, this old lady inviting Lisa in. We find that this old lady's name is Rose. And Lisa asks if they are still in the house beyond the walls. Rose doesn't really answer per se, except to tell her that in this house by the lake they are safe. Lisa asks if Rose knows if Julienne made it out okay, and Rose says that she doesn't know who Julienne is, but at the same time tells Lisa that there is someone upstairs in the house who's waiting to see her. Lisa goes upstairs and it turns out to be her dead sister Sophie. Lisa, obviously overcome with emotion, hugs Sophie, and they go outside and play beside the lake. As they're playing around, Lisa asks Sophie if the sun is real, and she replies that it is, but it never sets. Lisa returns the locket that she found earlier on in the previous episode back to her sister. And they start to go back over the memories of their mother. Sophie seems concerned that Lisa might leave her, so basically reinforces the question several times throughout this episode to make sure that Lisa will not leave her, and Lisa promises not to leave her. Meanwhile, inside the house by the lake, Rose is making up a room for Lisa to stay in, and they all have dinner together. After dinner, and getting ready for bed, the sun's still being out because the sun doesn't set anymore, Sophie is chatting to Lisa, and Lisa shows her Julianne's watch, which she asked for. Lisa tells her that she can't give it to her, and Sophie says that she knows who Julianne is. She can't talk about him, but she knows that where he is, he's being punished. During this conversation, Lisa's looking at Sophie's arm and notices that she's missing a scar that she got. And not only is she missing this scar, it turns out that Sophie no longer remembers the scar. Lisa tells her that she was bitten by a dog when she was very little, and that's what caused the scar, but Sophie has no knowledge or no recollection of it. As everyone sleeps in the house, Lisa gets up from her bed and starts to explore. She looks outside and sees Rose standing, apparently muttering to the lake. And as she goes around exploring in the house, she then hears a sound of playing. She looks out the window and sees that Rose and Sophie are playing hide and seek beside the water. It's kind of a modified version of hide and seek, where one person wears a blindfold and the other one speaks around them until they catch them. Later on, Sophie and Lisa are playing a game outside. It's a game of riddles. And when it comes to Lisa's turn, Lisa's riddle to Sophie is how they get out of the house. Sophie once again says that she does not want Lisa to leave her, but furthermore, Rose won't let them leave. Lisa says that if they do go, they'll go together to find Julianne. Later on, over dinner, Rose tells Lisa that Sophie is unwell and she won't be joining them, but in the time that Sophie and Rose had been together, Sophie told Rose of the night that she died, the fact that Lisa let her go swimming at night and she drowned. Lisa tells her that she's been here for a long, long time. Later on, when Lisa is asleep, Sophie comes in, wakes her up and tells her that they need to leave, and she knows where Julianne is. He's being held in the place that the people are never hungry, with the big black columns. Lisa asks how they get there, and Sophie tells her that they can't go there during daylight. And as this place is always in daylight, Lisa asks her how can they make it night time. Sophie tells her that Rose needs to die. We then go outside and see Rose apparently speaking to the water again, but somehow trying to speak to Lisa to will her that she must accept the house and stay there. Lisa runs up to attack her, but Rose gets the better hand and slaps her around a bit, ultimately getting her to the ground and choking her, screaming that she must accept the house. She must accept the house. When Lisa appears to be incapacitated, Rose turns around to Sophie and tells her that she will be taught a lesson, drags her into the water and starts to drown her. Lisa comes to, she grabs a rock, runs over and beats Rose to death, but loses sight of Sophie. She starts to frantically search around the lake but can't find Sophie's body anywhere. And not only that, Rose has vanished, leaving only her dress. Lisa is overcome with grief and is distraught, continues to try and look for Sophie but is unable to find anything except the locket. And at this point, the sun starts to set and storm clouds come over. After a bit of time, Lisa puts the locket back on round her neck and sets off back through the woods to find Julianne. She retraces her steps and enters the fog and the woods that we saw back in episode 2. Continuing through there, she ends up back in the house, right back in the room that her and Julianne had found earlier. She's now armed with a metal poker and a singular purpose to find Julianne. She starts to head off through the house, and we come to a room that we've not seen before, which has large glass doors at the far end. And through those doors, she can see the outline, the silhouettes of the others on the other side of the door. She stands perfectly still until they move, because they react to movement, very much like a T-Rex. She then continues on and she finds a room that she's been in earlier, but this time there are several people asleep on the floor. She rubs herself in ash, which you know from the second episode is an inhibitor for the senses of the others, and holding the poker, she strong arms an old man to follow her. They walk for a while and eventually take a rest stop, and as they are resting, the old man tells her that Julianne has changed some pop since they last met, that time passes even slower in the place that she has been, and she might not have enough time to save him. Lisa finds out that he's been held down one floor to the north, and the old man describes it as across deserts and oceans. Lisa falls asleep, and when she wakes up, she finds the old man dead, so she continues on her journey to find Julian. She eventually comes to a room with the large black columns. Now, we've seen this room before. I believe we saw it in episode number 2. And previously, there had been a man in the middle of the room. This time, that man has been replaced by Julian. Julian must have been there for quite a long time because he's changed somewhat. He now has a long beard and long hair and is in the same sort of trance that we saw the other man in before. Lisa uses the watch that she's found, Julian's watch, and plays the music which seems to bring him back round, and they head back to his hidden room beyond the walls. Lisa gives him bread, water, and then cuts his hair and beard so he resembles somewhat his regular self, and then they make love on his bed. Julian tells Lisa that she's been gone for 3 years or possibly more. And she tells him that she was where her sister dreamed, and that's where she was with her. And then we get a bit more of the backstory. She basically says that when her sister died, she was only 15 and she hesitated. And she's always had this guilt that if she hadn't hesitated, maybe there was something she could have done to save her. Julian asks if her sister has told her how to escape beyond the walls, and Lisa says that there's an exit in the basement. Julian insists that there's nothing down there, just mud and darkness. But Lisa insists that Sophie had said there is a metal staircase and they have to continue down that. After a while, Julian tells Lisa that they are from two different time frames, 99 years apart, that if they both make it out, they won't be able to be together. The chances are they'll go back to the times that they left, and it's unlikely they would ever be together. He would be a very, very, very old man or dead by the time she was of age to find him. Lisa accepts that, but Julian says that what he will do if they escape is he will find the man in the chair that left her the house right back at the start, and leave a letter for her telling her how much he loved her and that he made it out safe. The two of them head off to the basement, and after searching for a while, they eventually find this large kind of tunnel with a staircase, steel tunnel, that takes them down further and further into this huge domed room. And as they're walking towards the centre of it, they realise that the others are starting to surround them and swarm. They start to push into the middle of the room, and there is a huge hole at the centre. The others have now surrounded them, and using the flame torches they have, they basically press back the others until they see in the distance Rose, who walks towards them. As she walks towards them, the others back away. Rose tells Lisa that if she was to stay, that both herself, Sophie, and Julian could live in the house by the lake forever. They would never have to leave. Lisa looks at Julian, and Julian jumps into the hole, and Lisa follows. At the bottom of the hole is a huge body of water, and Julian disappears into the darkness, just as Lisa lands in the water. She starts to swim towards the surface but starts to struggle with air, and in the darkness she sees her sister Sophie swim towards her. Sophie kisses her on the lips and starts to swim away, and Lisa starts to follow her, swimming to the surface, and the surface is actually a river back in the real world during the day. She climbs out of the river and starts to walk through the adjacent woods, and eventually it finds a road with cars. After a bit of time, we can see her walking back into town and heading back to the house. She gets into the house and she starts to tear open the chair, the one that the old man was found dead on, and after raking in the insides of the chair, she finds a book called When You Get Lost. It's revealed that through the flashback that Julian must have met the man, because this is how this book is here. But when she starts to read the book, the voiceover comes in and it's Julian's voice saying that he did manage to return to his time, and in that time Lisa didn't exist, and he very much regretted that he would never hear her voice again. He continues saying that not only did he make it out to the real world, but he went to the house. Arriving at the house, he savoured his freedom for the rest of his life and the memories I've had of her, but his life passed him by very, very quick. Not only that, when he arrived at the house, it was abandoned. So he waited for the man to come, and the man never arrived. And after a while, Julian realised that for the man to actually exist, Julian would have to make him up. So he changed his name to Andre Bainville. He bought the house and bought this very luxurious, expensive armchair. He said that he waited for the day that she would come and find it, that the day that she would inherit his house, the day that she would come to save him, and he wrote the book on the day that she was born. At the very end of the show, we see Lisa walk in the park, and we still hear Julian's voiceover telling her to be happy, live her life, because one day she saved a man. And that's how the show ends. I fucking loved this. I absolutely loved this ending. It was packed with so much emotion. It wasn't as near as creepy as some of the previous episodes, which is maybe a slight complaint, but it was just really captivating. It reminded me very strangely of The Orphanage, the Spanish horror movie, which has a terribly sad ending, but is weirdly uplifting at the same time. And that's exactly how this made me feel. Once again, set design was tremendous, cinematography lush and beautiful. The design of the others, even the character of Rose, it was just really well crafted and really well put together. And what I loved about this is how they managed to, very late in the story, insert this powerful love story into the show, which didn't feel rushed, which didn't feel cliche. And even though I had my inklings when they were talking about different time frames of them leaving, I kind of guessed what the ending of the show might be. I felt it was executed wonderfully at the end. I think this show is fantastic. It shouldn't really surprise me. I'm a big fan of European cinema. And I'm a big fan of French stuff. And this didn't have the grittiness of a lot of French cinema, but had all the beauty and all the romance and all the whimsy and all the wonder that you want from that part of the world. I just think it's a really captivating ghost story. I don't think we get many of them now these days. I would go on record, even though it would probably get me a lot of flack. I think this is a better love ghost story than Crimson Peak, the Guillermo del Toro movie. I think this one bests it, just because it has more soul and more conviction. And it still looks visually beautiful, even though it has a fraction of the budget. I think the further we went on into the story, the more things were revealed, the more I found myself captivated by what was going on. And I could probably see the best way to watch this is maybe in one sitting, maybe as the movie, or divvy it up over one or two nights. I wouldn't give this, like the way I've reviewed it, one episode almost a week. You want to kind of... I can see why people binged it, because when the episodes were finishing, I wanted to know where the story was going next. And I think that is the hallmark of great television. I think this is... I can't imagine them ever doing anything like a season two for this. And I don't want them to. I think this is perfect the way it is. A thumpingly strong, good TV show, which you can check out on Shudder. Yeah, exclusive on Shudder just now. And you get a week free, so... sign up for Shudder if you haven't already. Once again, I stress I'm not being paid. I wish I was, but I'm not being paid by Shudder to advertise for them. I think it's actually a really good service for what you're paying, which is pennies for the the wall of movies that they are bringing on there, and they've brought over some really good ones recently. Dead Zone's just been added, which in this world of President Trump is scarily apt when you watch that movie. Yeah, check out Beyond the Walls. It is a show that I think is the sort of thing you need. We've got plenty of shows that have zombies, we have plenty of shows that have humour, that have surrealism, that have gore. We don't have many shows like Beyond the Walls, and this one set a pretty high benchmark for me. It'll be interesting to see what else is out there. Yeah, like I said, my plans are to do more horror TV shows this year, look into them, hopefully get some guests to join in moving forward. I haven't quite decided. I know I want to do The Exorcist this year. I don't think it will be the next one. I quite fancy picking off something small again, whether it's a, you know, like another mini series or a horror TV show that doesn't have many episodes. I do intend to do another one, but yeah, cannot recommend Beyond the Walls enough. What a fucking incredible show. Oh, that was short, sharp and sweet, but we like to do that on these bonus episodes. I am going to take my final break of the show. When I return, I am closing it out right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to this very special bonus episode of the podcast Under the Stairs. And on this episode, we looked at the concluding episode, episode number 3, the finale to the Shudder exclusive French mini horror mystery TV show. Gets longer every time I say it. Beyond the Walls. Oh, that was a fucking great TV show. I loved that. I cannot even begin to stress how much I want to go and watch it all again. Yeah, that was a whole hell of a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys out there have enjoyed me going through Beyond the Walls. I would love to think that maybe you guys have your own theories, and I would love to hear about them. So if you want to discuss this further, remember there are people that haven't seen it, so be very tactful on Facebook. But certainly you can drop me some private messages, or you can in fact send us in an email to podcastunderthestairs@gmail.com, and I'll read them out on the next bonus episode. Yeah, also if there's TV shows out there that you would like to see me cover in the horror genre that you've never heard me talk about before, then shout those suggestions out. Let's get some plans on where we go next with this shit. Like I said at the start of the episode, thank you again to everyone that bought a t-shirt and everyone that bought a baseball top. I believe the campaign has about 5 days left, so I'll do a bit more pushing of them for anyone that hasn't picked up one yet that's been waiting to pull the trigger. And further information will be coming out in the next week or so about the posters. Keep your eyes peeled for that. And on top of that, within the next week, we will be dropping the poll for you guys to select what the Baz will be looking at in terms of franchise horror in 2017. Your voice counts. You know, if you were around this time last year, that things got heated like a motherfucker. The Baz is currently up to his tits in life. I'm having lunch with him today, the day this episode drops, and we're going to plan out basically what we're going to do with Baz v Horror in 2017. I believe the next time he will officially be back on the show, out with the occasional short visit here and there, is to do his end of year assessment, which is going to take a good couple of weeks to plan. And for those out there that don't remember what the topic is, it's the remaining movies in the oeuvre that is Rob Zombie. On that show, we will be looking at House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, The Lords of Salem, El Super Bisto, and his most recent outing, 31. As we did with Evil Dead, Baz will be joined by guest mentors from other horror podcasts who will talk him through why they love the movies and whether Baz should like it, and then we give the opportunity for a Baz rebuttal, which you just can't wait to hear. So plenty of stuff coming up on the podcast Under the Stairs. We return in a few days. We're just powering on this year. I don't know, the content is coming out thick and fast, but I will be joined by my very special guest, Mr. Bo Ransdell, and we're going to look at, on episode 101, we're looking at Stalkers, and we're going to do the first ever anime movie review on that episode with Perfect Blue, which is a movie I love, and we're coupling that up with the Spanish horror movie Sleep Tight, which is directed by one of the dudes that did Wreck. So it's going to be a ton of fun. Can't wait for that episode to come out on Monday. And then we'll probably go back to regular scheduled one a week episodes. Remember, as always, there is a multitude of ways to check out the podcast Under the Stairs. If you are listening to us on iTunes right now, then please subscribe. That way you get all the shows as and when they drop, but you also get access to the entire back catalogue. And if you are subscribing, take a couple of minutes out and please leave us some feedback. It is the best way to support what we do over on the show. If it's 5 stars, for example, the more of them we get, the higher up the iTunes charts we get pushed, makes us more visible for other people checking out for some different content. As always, please recommend us to your friends, anyone that listens to podcasts or is wanting to listen to something a little bit different, recommend them the podcast Under the Stairs. We're also on Stitcher Smart Radio, we are on SoundCloud, you can check us out on Legion Podcast Network, we're a proud member of that network surrounded by a multitude of fantastic shows. While you're over there checking them out, please check out myself and Bo on Duncan and Bo Come Correct. We've just kicked off what's going to be an epic journey looking at Twin Peaks. That first episode is out there, so go and check it out. It's going to be a ton of fun. Duncan and Bo Go to Twin Peaks. Please visit our website, teapotscast.com. Also visit some of our social media. We have the most fantastic Facebook group page. It's facebook.com/groups/teapotscast. The Baz is our admin over on Instagram and Twitter. You can interact with him and follow him by going to @teapotscast for both. Whew, right, ladies and gents, I will take my leave of you just now. I hope you guys out there have an absolutely fantastic weekend wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing in whatever time zone it is. Please, please, please take care of yourself. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting from not beyond the walls, Under the Stairs, and I'll speak to you all later, fuckers. Bye. Thank you.
of the very soul. Look alive, look alive. Do you know the stranglehold covering their eyes? If I call on every soul. In disguise.